heard somebody say this. It's as easy as A, B, C. And then they go on to try to tell you something that a rocket scientist couldn't figure out. That's what typically happens. Perhaps you're the person who calls up the technician because the refrigerator isn't working. And they say, oh, well, it's this. And they're using the terms and the ideas behind. And it goes over here. You say, just fix it. You know, it's easy. This is an easy fix. Or somebody comes along and you enjoy a particular meal at a restaurant, and they say this was a great meal, and they say, oh, that's easy. All you have to do, and when they start off like that, you know it's not easy, right? Well, I'm going to share something with you this morning, and I will tell you that it is as easy as A, B, C to learn what God expects of us. We need and want to be good servants of Jesus. And sometimes in our world, in the Christian world, in religious circles, we have made serving Jesus so complicated, so difficult, that we wait for those who have their degree in biblical studies, those who understand the languages of the original manuscripts, those who have the knowledge, they will explain it to us. But I'm going to tell you that the plan of God is not that the super educated try to dumb down what God wants from us. God is willing to tell us something in a very clear fashion, what he anticipates from us. And we're going to be able to learn it in no time at all this morning. Most of you probably already know it. Now, this last couple of weeks, last week, we've been reading through 1 Timothy as well as 2 Timothy in our Bible reading. And today we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, I know you see there it's verses 1 through 5, but we're actually going to read the entire chapter. I want to make sure we get this in context. We're not going to miss a single verse. And it says at the beginning, the Spirit clearly says. Now, isn't that interesting? Those people who would like to think that God's word is complicated, God comes along and says, it's not. It's very clear. There's a lot of people who go marching into the water and make it muddy. But it's not muddy in and of itself. We can understand what God wants. And Paul here says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teaching comes through hypocritical liars whose conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. So here Paul starts off talking to us about this future time, right? No, actually, we're living in it, aren't we? He says, it makes it very clear that in the end times. Now, he's writing in his day to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he is already seeing these things happening around him. Note that what happens here, and if we go back to that text that we started off with, the very first verse, it says, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Now, here in churches around the world, oftentimes preachers are qualified or are graded. And one of the terms that we hear from one person to another is, that was a very anointed message. It's our way of saying they were inspired. It's our way of saying that they were following the Spirit. Well, here's the catch. Paul is saying that there's going to be people in the last times that are going to be very inspired. But the catch is this. You have to understand who's inspiring them. They're going to be very convincing. Have you ever met somebody that is a very convincing individual? They're eloquent. They know how to tell you the story and lead you down the path so that you're going to bite the hook at the end no matter what. Well, this is the situation that Paul is talking about, that in the last days there are going to be these people that are going to look and sound very inspired. And some people will say, they're anointed, because that's what they associate with the idea of being inspired. But we have to make sure we understand what it is and who it is that is inspiring them. So Paul goes on, and he's going to define what is the problem with these hypocrites, with these individuals who are being led by the wrong spirit. And he says the bottom line is that they will be missing something. What they're missing is faith and holiness. They're walking around and they are living out a life that doesn't reflect the godliness that the Word of God instills. They have started this race. They jump in, and now they have all of this worldly ideas in their mind. And what Paul actually goes in and he begins to say is that they're all these carnal people. Now, what he actually says is that these inspired people begin to prohibit marrying. They prohibit certain foods. They prohibit, and these were the actual things that Paul was saying. But in and of itself, what Paul is saying here is that there's going to be this group of people that are going to look and sound very inspired, but they are going to base what they are saying in the flesh and how I feel at the moment. And what he says is that it has nothing to do with how you feel. Now, let me tell you something. God expects of us those things that Paul just mentioned, faith and holiness. And you know what? He expects it when you don't feel good as well as when you do feel well. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So it's not based on how I'm feeling. It's not based on if I slept well last night. It's not based on if I had a good meal and I'm not hungry. You know, some people will say, well, you have to excuse me, Pastor. Right now I'm a little bit hangry. You know, that person who changes their attitude. God is anticipating that people who are transformed by his message and by the presence of his son in their lives, that they are transformed always, while these others are very inspired, but they base their relationship on the emotion, on the way that they are feeling. And they will, in one case, say that you can do that. And in other cases, they say you cannot do that, because there's some who make sure that you're always feeling terrible. It's a matter of depravity and so forth. You have to make sure that you sacrifice, and you have to live this life when you walk around crying all the time and being sad. And others always want to be happy and so forth. But God says none of that's really the issue. Whether you're happy or you are sad today, every day is a day to serve Jesus. And we walk in faith and holiness independent of what the world or what is happening around us. And it actually says that these people, these false teachers, these anointed ones, these charismatic people are going to be walking around, but they're going to have a problem with their conscience. Now, he says that it has been burned as with a hot iron. Now, I have a question. If we as believers are given the instruction that we're supposed to walk in faith and holiness. Now, how many times have I said that already? See, how easy is it to learn what God wants? Faith and holiness. And if they know this, so what's the natural reaction? When you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what do? You confess your sins. People will, at that moment of confessing Jesus as the Lord and Savior, oftentimes tears will fall. They're going to feel like all of a sudden this burden is taken off of them, because they are individuals who now are not living in that sin. And they believe this with all of their heart, because Jesus is living inside of them. And by faith, they're living out this new holiness. Well, if you do that, when you're walking in holiness, every day you are a sojourner. You're walking closer and closer to God. Now, if you're walking closer and closer to God, what does that by nature mean? I will tell you. It means you're by nature walking day by day further and further away from hell. Right? If I'm walking toward God, behind me is the sinful stuff. Behind me is hell. And he says, Paul says here, that these foolish teachers, these inspired teachers, have a conscience that's been burned as with a hot iron. Now, where do you suppose you'd get burned? By being too close to God? Does that make sense to anybody? No. You know, parents will try to care for their little children when the children learn how to walk and are growing and when they're cooking in the kitchen, because kids have a tendency of trying to see what's going on and so forth. And so you protect them because hot things can burn you. And so these individuals are living as close to the fire of hell. And what do they say? Oh, you know what? God has covered over that. Oh, that's not important over here. And so these false teachers who are very convincing, Paul comes along and he tells Timothy, watch out for them, because this is going to happen and you'll be able to define them. And if you just listen to what they say, you're going to be swept away because they are convincing. They are inspired. But if you do what I'm telling you, Paul says, you're going to be fine. And what is that? Look at their life. Are they people who are living by faith and by holiness? Wow, how many times have I mentioned those things? That's crazy how it keeps jumping out in this particular morning. You know, it's as though Paul wants us to know something very basic about God, that he's looking for us to have this life of faith and of holiness. And the imposters are those who are living their life based on the emotion and how they feel at the time. So we continue on. We'd already read through verse 5. Now let's pick it up in verse 6. Again, we haven't jumped any verses. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. Now notice what he says. You point them out. You let people know about these things. And what does he say? He says, if you do these things, what are these things? Faith and what was the other one? Holiness. I knew that you would remember it now. And he says, if you point those things out, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. How many want to be a good minister of Christ Jesus? How many want to be a good servant of God? And so what do? We learn what God wants, faith and holiness, and we begin to point it out to individuals. This is what God wants. This is what God expects and how we as believers are supposed to live. And he says, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the... Paul, you already told us, but we'll go ahead and read it anyway. Faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. In other words, your life is going to walk it out. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. In other words, train yourself for holiness. For physical training is of some value, but godliness, holiness, has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. They live their life based on faith, right? So Paul here simply tells Timothy, point it out. Teach this important information. What are you teaching? He's teaching faith and holiness. He's teaching the basics of the gospel. And therefore, he's going to be a good servant of Christ Jesus. And we all want to be good servants of Christ Jesus. So given the background of what Paul has just stated, we have to imagine how difficult it really is. And you say, well, it's not difficult. He sums it up with just two words, faith and holiness. So it's not difficult. Well, the difficult part is what Paul had just got done saying. Point it out. Now you can imagine how challenging it is to point it out to somebody who is very convincing. Have you ever tried to change the mind of somebody who is very convincing? They will argue one way and another, and they cannot see it any other way. I don't know if any of you saw anything related to time in the White House this last week in which the president of Ukraine met with the president of the United States. And what a wonderful conversation that was. It's almost like you were there, right? We were transported right there, and it was on full display. Well, there are people like that. They are so convinced of what they're saying that they can't hear anything else. And you know what? There are people, when you hear that they are so convinced, and after all, they're anointed. They are inspired with what they're saying. Could you imagine Paul then coming along and telling Timothy, this young guy, he was young, and say, just point it out to him. Well, you know, Paul, that's easier for some people than others. There are some people who live for the confrontation. But the majority of us are not like that. The majority of us avoid confrontation at any cost. We see a confrontation coming a mile away, and we get on the other side of the road. We know that we don't like that moment. We don't like that argument. We don't like it, and so we avoid it. And I think that the majority of people are like that, that they would prefer to avoid the confrontation. And so this is where it becomes a difficult thing. Knowing what God wants, faith and holiness, is not hard. But putting into practice what Paul says, as he says, if you teach, if you point these things out, you'll be a good servant. Now, evidently, Timothy wasn't by nature one of those individuals who liked to confront. Matter of fact, later on in his second letter, Paul writes to Timothy in the first chapter in the seventh verse, For the Spirit God gave does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. He has to speak this to a young boy, a young guy who's trying his best, but sometimes his own personality and his own natural characteristics begin to weigh in more heavily than what he was instructed to do. And so Paul tells Timothy that he has to be this person that is pointing out. And then he goes on and he says, avoid those myths and those legends and all of those things. You know, you have to understand the time in which Paul was talking. Paul, and I'm gonna say something that'll probably stun you, surprise you. But Paul was talking to somebody who did not spend very much time at all watching the television. I know it's a shocker, right? Matter of fact, he was writing to somebody who had never once been to the movie theater. I know. You're like, who is this guy, right? He didn't even yet have his Facebook account open. This is who we're talking about. And he writes and he says, avoid, obviously all of those things didn't exist, right? Avoid the myths. Now, what was he really saying? Paul is talking to somebody who lived during a very oral tradition and culture. There weren't a plentiful amount even of books to read. And so at night, in the evenings, what would the family do? They would sit in the area while they're eating and talk. And during that talk, they would tell stories. Sometimes those stories were of great value, and that's what a lot of the Old Testament ends up being, this oral tradition, because people didn't read it, but they passed it on, and they would cite it one after another after another. And when you hear the same story over and over again, now your kids can repeat it and repeat it. But amongst the traditions would be that they would sit around and they would entertain one another. They would tell each other the stories. They would tell each other this fable, this myth, and so forth. And so what is Paul saying when he says, avoid these myths, avoid these things? He's really saying to them, avoid wasting your time, because those aren't of any good. Later on, he'll even say that you need to train yourself in the spiritual. Even physical training has some sort of a benefit. In other words, Paul is saying, let's be people who avoid those who waste time. Now, that was the culture that Paul was talking to. I have to wonder what Paul might point out about our culture if he were to try to tell us, don't waste your time. I mean, it's crazy. You can go out to a restaurant with family, and it's this time to, we're all together. And every one of them are like this until the food gets there. And then once the food gets there, they're like this. I wonder if Paul would mention anything about the use of cell phones. I wonder if Paul would mention any of those things that I mentioned earlier, to the surprise, about television and movie theaters. And I wonder what Paul would have mentioned. But basically what he was saying was, he was saying, avoid wasting your time. You have to be dedicated to something. And what was he trying to get Timothy to be dedicated to? Faith and holiness. And so Paul was there encouraging Timothy to be a person that, first of all, would conquer his timidity, conquer his tendency to avoid confrontation, because he quickly was able to learn what you also have been quickly able to learn, that God expects of us faith and holiness, right? And so he steps forward and he says, so point it out to people. But quickly, Paul moves Timothy along to be an expert in what God wants. You know what the difference is between a newbie and an expert? It's somebody that just has a little bit more practice in it, right? And in one chapter, Paul goes from establishing the rules, faith and holiness, to then in five verses later say, point this out to others now. You can do it. And now he moves on, as we continue on with reading our text in verse 11. Command and teach these things. Now all of a sudden it's not pointed out. It's not about just teaching it casually. Now all of a sudden Paul is expecting Timothy to command certain things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Notice again what Paul is emphasizing, that he will put on display: faith and holiness. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preach and to teach. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So now Paul moves him along. He, Timothy, is now an expert. See how quickly you can become an expert? You came in saying, I wonder what Pastor's going to be talking about. And now you can say it just as easily as I can. God expects from us is almost as though you're experts. Wow. Paul now challenges Timothy, and he says, see, I told you, it's as easy as A, B, C. Now command what you're hearing. Here he's been given the rules. He knows what God wants, faith and holiness. He knows that that's going to mean something about the way that he's going to live. He's walking with sin in his past and God in his forefront. He's walking away from the fires of hell, and he's moving closer, and his relationship with God was going to be something that now Paul says put it on display in front of everybody else. And so it's time that we, the church, also receive the orders of God. But that means that we have to do what Paul also just said. He says, put and make yourself this example. Make yourself be the person. And he says, be diligent in this. Persevere in these things. Those were the words that Paul was using. Notice that Paul says, whatever the cost, be an example. People are watching your life. You have to live out and be a person in all avenues of faith and holiness. In other words, he says, age has nothing to do with it. He tells Timothy, let no one look down on you for your youth. He says, you know what? It has nothing to do with your culture, whether, you know, confrontation is just not something that we do. It has nothing to do with any of the things that would try to limit you. And people throw out that standard and they say, well, you know what? I'm still new in Christ. You know what? It doesn't matter how new you are in Christ. Because what's the first thing that happens when you come to know Christ? You have faith in Jesus, and you have this newfound holiness that's been imparted to you because Jesus' blood has washed away your sins. So Paul is not saying, oh, this is complicated. Only people who 15 years in Christ can do this. No, he knows that people 1 minute in Christ can do these things because they are now walking in faith and holiness. That is the basis of having a relationship with God. And he says, so be an example. And he would command all of us the same way to be examples of what God has done in our lives. On the contrary, there were others who had this great inspiration. They were anointed, but they were terrible examples, weren't they? They were people who had their conscience seared with the fires of hell. They were people who lived for the flesh based on emotion. And it's, you know what Paul is really saying here is that it requires discipline. Knowing what God wants is not hard. The consistency, the discipline is what's a challenge. Because the brand new believer in Christ already understands faith and holiness. But the problem is that there are so many people who still base their lives off of emotion. You know how we know that? Because there are a lot of people that will not commit to tomorrow until they know how they feel tomorrow. And God comes along and he says, regardless of how you're going to feel tomorrow, I want you to already promise that you're going to live in faith and holiness. Because faith and holiness has very little to do with whether you slept well last night. It has very little to do with whether you feel good today, whether you had a good meal, or whether things went your way. These things have very little to do with it because we are going to be constant examples. And, you know, humans are really, for the most part, terrible at being consistent. That's why we esteem so much the super athletes, because they, after years of practice, you know, the Olympic athletes, the professional athletes, they consistently are doing the same thing to get better and better. Are they by nature people who would be better at those items than you or I? No, not necessarily. It's just that they have thousands upon thousands of hours practicing because of the discipline. You know how I know that the average person is not very good at self-discipline, at being organized and following through with what they say? It's the general understanding of how many New Year's resolutions get forgotten. And here's the sensitive thing. Oh, man. Here we are in March. This is the first Sunday of March. You know what that means? January and February are already gone. That's what that means. And you know what happened? Before January, a lot of people in the world made a New Year's resolution. And they stood before that mirror looking at themselves and they said, you know what? This year, you're going to exercise every day. You know what, this year, we're going to stick to that diet. And you know, here we are in March, and the majority of them say, oh, yeah, I remember that was something like that. And because it's gone into the forgotten area, and we're only 2 months down the road. And who in their right mind would say, I promise I'm going to be doing this 2 months from now, or 5 years from now, or all of the rest of eternity? Because we by nature have learned that we cannot be trusted to follow through and be self-disciplined. That's the catch. Paul comes along and he says, it's really easy. Faith and holiness. And he could become an expert in just a matter of 11 verses to the point where he says, command these things. But then he says, here's the thing. Put it into practice. Be an example. Devote yourself to this. Persevere in these things. And he's telling us, he's commanding us that every single day we have to get up whether we feel like it or not. You know what? Whether you feel like it tomorrow or not, you are called to be a person of faith, walking in holiness. We, as servants of Jesus, have to commit to tomorrow before we know what tomorrow holds. That's the bottom line. And it doesn't matter whether we have a great night, and boy, I am ready to serve the Lord, or we tossed and turned all night long, we woke up with a headache, and we feel terrible. God is still looking for people who will be his servants and share by being an example, because the world is full of hot-winded people. Inspired. Talk the good talk. And God is looking for a church that will be an example of individuals who know what it is day after day to persevere in a life of faith and holiness. And Paul tells Timothy, this is what you have to do. You can't be swayed by somebody's negative response. You can't be detoured by your poor night's sleep. You can't be changed because of environment and circumstances, emotions and feelings. You just simply have to commit that from this day forward, I'm going to be a person who lives out the life in front of others. And what is the life? It's a life of faith and holiness. And therefore, we are children and servants of God. Now, it's not hard. It's not hard. The consistency, the perseverance is what's hard. And so what are we doing? We are going to go against all of our human nature. And you know what human nature naturally is? Excuse me, the phrase. We're slackers. We take the easiest route. When we feel like it, we'll do it. If we don't, we won't. If that offends you and you're not like that, hats off to you, all right? But God is looking for people who will persevere. And we need to commit to tomorrow before we see tomorrow. That's what God is asking of us as servants of Jesus Christ. Bow your heads with me, if you will. Lord, we are so grateful that you didn't make it rocket science, that only a few elite could understand it. You simply say, faith and holiness. Live it out. Point it out. Be an example. Lord, we can understand that, but although we could also understand how a diet might work or an exercise routine would be beneficial, and we even commit to some of those things in a New Year's type resolution, and 2 months later it's forgotten. But Lord, this is something that is of utmost importance and cannot be forgotten. We have to persist. We have to have consistency. Lord, we need to be examples so that the world will see, because there are a lot of people talking and not a lot of examples of faith and holiness. So Lord, First of all, we ask for you to forgive us of when we've swayed, we've walked away, we've forgotten, and we weren't consistent, we weren't persistent in what you require of us. Lord, we want you to forgive us. We repent, and we ask that you would cause us to commit to tomorrow and follow through with tomorrow, irregardless of how we feel, because you deserve good servants, and we want to be them. You deserve people who will rise up and be the examples of faith and holiness in a world that is led by the flesh and feelings. We choose you today, and we, in anticipation of tomorrow, choose you again and again and again. And we make a commitment to serve you wholeheartedly every single day as we live out our faith, walking in holiness before a generation that has yet to see people who really know what persistence and commitment are. Let us show them who we can be in you and who they can be in you. Lord, we pray that you would raise your church up to be that holy, that faithful church. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Go out of this place as a servant of Jesus, all the time walking in faith and holiness. Amen. We'll see you on Wednesday at Bible study, 11 a.m.